Good morning. I want to welcome each of you to Groffdale here this morning. Special welcome to any visitors that we have with us. We're glad that you can gather together here with God's people at Groffdale. We've been in this series, and I think today will be the last of this series, the last sermon in this series on the basics of the faith, the fundamentals of the Christian faith, and really just the sense of needing to come back to these things that we often start out with, and then sometimes we feel like we move on from them, but just coming back to what God has for us at the very root, at the very foundation of our Christian lives. And so last week, I talked about the gospel and the importance of the gospel as a root for us. I think I shared a quote from John Piper that says, "You never, never, never outgrow your need for the gospel." You don't begin the Christian life with this and then leave it behind to get stronger with something else. God strengthens us with the gospel to the day that we die. It's interesting, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we were in 2 Peter, and in verse 12 it says, "I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory." And so that is what we've been doing in this series on the foundations. And even as we looked at the gospel last week, and if you look at my title for the sermon this week, it's the gospel. We're still on the gospel. The gospel is not something that we can just address in one Sunday and move on from, but the gospel is the essence of the Christian faith. And so we're going to focus on that again this morning. And like Peter says, I think it's good that we remind ourselves of these things, that we refresh our memory. And before we get to kind of continuing on the gospel, I want to focus on something else as we get started here, and just a heads up, we are going to be a little interactive, so I'm going to ask something from you at certain points throughout the service. But this morning, we gather because of Jesus. We gather around His presence, because without Jesus, we have nothing. He is our everything. As Christians, we're here because of His presence, His transformation, His impact in our lives. It's His Spirit that has brought us salvation and redemption and freedom and transformation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So when we gather here this morning, it's because of God's Spirit, it's because of Jesus that we have experienced that freedom. And so this morning, I want to take some time as we get started to invite God's presence, God's Spirit here this morning, to invite Him to dwell among us. And really what we've done so far this morning through our offering, through our worship and our singing, through Dave bringing us here to look at God's glory in the heavens, this has been inviting His presence here. But before we get started, I just want to take a little bit more time to invite God's presence. Because honestly, it's not about how great the worship is this morning. It's not about if the preaching's good or not. 2 Corinthians doesn't say where there's good worship, there is freedom, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we just want to invite God's Spirit to be here, because it's God that transforms us. When God is here, He meets us and He transforms us. And it's the presence of God, when we encounter the presence of God, it makes us aware of our sinfulness and our brokenness. I want to turn to Isaiah 6 here as we get started, and I invite you to join me there. And this is the story of Isaiah encountering the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 6, we're looking at a few verses from there. In the beginning of this chapter, Isaiah sees the glory of God. The place where Isaiah is completely shaken, as if there's an earthquake, and it's filled with smoke because of the glory of God. He sees the Lord high and exalted. And as he sees this, as he encounters God's presence, he responds by saying, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." As Isaiah comes face to face with God, he comes face to face with his brokenness, with his sinfulness, with the uncleanness of his lips and of his life. Psalm 90 says, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence." Isaiah sees God. He encounters God's presence. He sees Him, and he becomes painfully aware of his own sinfulness. And then he encounters God's cleansing power. If you keep reading, there's some exchange, and it said to Isaiah, "Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." You see, the very presence of God makes us both aware of our sinfulness, of our brokenness, of our need for Him, and also the very presence of God brings incredible freedom and redemption and salvation from our sin. So in essence, when we encounter God's presence, we encounter the gospel. When we encounter God's presence, we encounter His holiness, our brokenness, and His redemption, which is the story of the gospel. His holiness, our sinfulness, and His plan of redemption. That's the story of the gospel. And when we encounter God's presence, we encounter the gospel. So that's what happened to Isaiah here. And so this morning, I want to invite God's presence here, because I could talk about the gospel a lot. We talked about the gospel last week. We can talk about the validity of the gospel. We can explain the theology of the gospel. But God desires that we know more than just the theology of the gospel. God desires that we experience the reality of the gospel. We can hear the details of the gospel hundreds of times. We can understand the theological practicals or components of the gospel. But apart from an encounter with the living, holy, almighty presence of God, we will miss out on the reality of the gospel in our lives. So, as we get started, let's invite God's presence here among us this morning, because when we encounter God, we encounter the gospel that goes beyond just a theoretical or a theological level, but goes to the very core of our being, and we encounter the reality of the gospel in our life. So I invite you to stand this morning, and we're gonna pray that God's presence would be among us. And I invite you to pray out loud. I'll be praying out loud. You guys can be praying out loud. Don't worry about what everybody around you is saying. And let's cry out for the Lord to meet us in this place. In the Psalms it says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. So my soul longs for you. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" So God, this morning, we just pray that Your presence would come and meet us this morning. God, we pray that we would encounter Your goodness, we would encounter Your presence. God, we realize that when we encounter You, we encounter the reality of the gospel. God, we understand that we can sit here and we can study the gospel, and we can learn the particulars, and we can grow, and we can even preach it to others, we can articulate the gospel to others, but until we encounter Your presence, Lord, until we have an encounter with You, when we come face to face with who You are and Your holiness, God, You make us aware of the gospel, the reality of the gospel, where we become aware of our sinfulness and our brokenness, our need for You. And God, we become painfully aware of how short we fall and how we don't measure up to Your holiness and our separation from You. But God, when we encounter Your presence, You meet us and You transform us. You redeem us and You save us, Lord. God, we long for Your presence to be here this morning among us. God, I pray that we'd have a hunger and a thirst for Your presence. God, I pray that our souls would long for Your presence. God, we invite You here this morning. God, we invite Your presence here this morning. God, we desire to have an encounter with You. God, what You have for us is so much more than just theology, it's reality. God, I pray that we would encounter the reality of a living, holy, and mighty God. God, we invite Your Holy Spirit here this morning. We invite Your Holy Spirit to meet us this morning, to speak to our hearts this morning, to come with power upon us this morning. God, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would manifest Himself here this morning. God, we invite You. We want to encounter You. God, we gather here because of You. We come here because of You. We come here to meet You. God, we thank you that you desire to come and meet us. God, I pray that we would encounter you this morning. We thank you for coming and meeting us here in this place. God, we lay ourselves before you. God, I pray that you'd speak to us here this morning. God, create in us a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within us. God, don't cast us away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. God, restore to us the joy of your salvation. God, we long for your presence. We desire to rest in your presence, God. Amen. You may be seated. It is good to be here in God's presence, to invite him to be among us. You know, there's a song that says, "In your presence, fear has no choice but to bow. Chains have no choice but to break. Shame has no choice but to leave in your presence." When we encounter the presence of God, it transforms us. You know, this coming week is Thanksgiving. It's a day set aside to give thanks. And as Christians, what more do we have to be thankful for than the gospel, than the presence of God that is with us? You know, the more we encounter the reality of the gospel, the more thankfulness overflows naturally from the depths of our being. When we encounter God, we encounter the gospel. And as we encounter the gospel, the reality of the gospel in our lives, and it transforms us, it leads to an overflowing of thankfulness in our lives. There's a book called The Gospel Primer for Christians. It's a book all about reasons why we need to remind ourselves of the gospel message. And one of these reasons that is laid out in this book is that the gospel leads us into thankfulness. The book says, "The more absorbed I am in the gospel, the more grateful I become in the midst of my circumstances, whatever they may be. The gospel reminds me that first, what I actually deserve from God is a full cup churning with the torments of His wrath. This is the cup that would be mine to drink if I were given what I deserve each day. With this understanding in mind, I see that to be handed a completely empty cup from God would be cause enough for infinite gratitude. If there would be merely the tiniest drop of blessing contained in that otherwise empty cup, I should be blown away by the unbelievable kindness of God toward me. That God, in fact, has given me a cup that is full of every spiritual blessing in Christ, and this, without the slightest admixture of wrath, leaves me truly dumbfounded with inexpressible joy. As for my specific earthly circumstances of plenty or of want, I can see them always as infinite improvements on the hell I deserve. When I look at any circumstance that God apportions me, I am first grateful for the wrath that I am not receiving in that moment. Secondly, I am grateful for the blessings that are given me instead of His wrath. Life's blessings, however small, always appear exceedingly precious when viewed against the backdrop of the wrath I deserve. This two-layered gratitude disposes my heart to give thanks in all things, and it also lends a certain intensity to my giving of thanks." This double-layered gratitude, one of the wrath that I'm not receiving, and one for the blessings that are poured out upon me, a thankfulness that is enriched by the gospel. So when we encounter the presence of God, we encounter the reality of the gospel, His holiness, our sinfulness, His redemptive plan. And as we encounter the reality of the gospel, it moves us towards a thankful heart and thankful living. As Christians, we should be the most thankful people on the planet. We have the most to be thankful for, and not that we should be the most thankful out of obligation, out of this idea of like, well, I have to give thanks because I'm supposed to be a thankful person, or well, I guess I got to do this because it's Thanksgiving. but a gratitude that is uncontainable, that overflows, an overwhelming passion for glorifying God and giving thanks for what He has done, because we understand the depths of our sinfulness, the immensity of His holiness, and the reality of the gospel in our lives. In 2 Chronicles, Solomon has built the temple. This is the first stationary location that God will dwell in. Solomon has followed God's instructions on building the temple. They have this great ceremony where they bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, and there's this great celebration, and all the people are there, and they've gathered, and the priests and the Levites are ministering, and Solomon is leading, and there's sacrifices and singing. And in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, all the Levites who were musicians, all the Levites who were musicians and their sons and relatives stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen, and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and the musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to God. Accompanied by the trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good, His love endures forever. So here you have this picture of the people of God who come together. They're praising God, they're giving thanks to God. They're led by musicians and singers, and they're giving thanks. And as they do this, as they declare the goodness of God, as they overflow with thankfulness, the temple of the Lord is filled with a cloud. Verse 14, it says, the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. So these people are gathered together, they're giving thanks, they're praising God, and the presence of God shows up in response to them giving thanks and worshiping Him. In Psalms, it says that God inhabits the praise of His people. That when we praise God, when we give thanks, God comes and meets us in that place. And so we have an encounter with God's presence, leads to an encounter with the gospel. When we encounter the gospel, it leads to giving thanks. And here we have this picture of how giving thanks leads to an encounter with God's presence. The following chapter is Solomon's prayer of dedication. And then in chapter 7, it says, the priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. So as they're giving thanks, the presence of God comes and they encounter God. They become aware of their brokenness and they fall face down in front of the holiness of the Lord. So their thankfulness leads to God's presence coming and dwelling. God's presence leads to an encounter with the gospel. Again, we could sit here and I could talk about the benefits of giving thanks. I could talk about the theology of giving thanks, the practicals of giving thanks, 5 steps to giving thanks. But it's going to be an encounter with the living Spirit of God, with the reality of the gospel that will catapult us into thankful living. Because when we encounter the Spirit of God, when we encounter the presence of God, we encounter the reality of the gospel. We encounter Him in all of His holiness. We become aware of our sinfulness and our brokenness and our need for salvation, for redemption. And through the encounter with Him, we receive that forgiveness and that cleansing by His Spirit. And as we encounter the gospel, as we understand the gospel, we are filled with this multi-layered gratitude. So this morning, I want to take a little bit more time to give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, to praise Him and worship Him as the Israelites did when they gathered together because they encountered His presence and they gave thanks to Him. And that in giving thanks, they ushered in more of His presence. As that happened, they encountered more of Him. As that happened, they gave more thanks. And it's this cyclical nature that as we live in this, in encountering the presence of God and encountering the gospel, and it's a daily thing and it's a moment thing where we're continuing to do this. We continue to live with the presence of God, and we encounter that and we live in that, and it leads us towards giving thanks and praising God. And as we give thanks and praise God, we invite more of Him into our life. And as we encounter more of Him in our life and we live in that presence, we're led to more and more thankfulness because we encounter more and more of the gospel and it becomes real to us. And it's this cycle of just glorifying God and receiving more of His presence in our life. And so as we've invited God's presence here this morning, I want to take some time as we come to the end here, maybe. I was going to get to the gospel. We'll maybe get to that a little bit later. But I'd like to take some time to give thanks to God for who He is, for His holiness, for His presence, for His plan of salvation, His redemption, His gospel message. So I invite you again to stand up, and we're going to take some time and just give thanks to God. And I invite you to give thanks through prayers and declaring His goodness. Feel free to sing out His praise as well. We just want to give thanks to God this morning. So God, we lift You up and we give You thanks. God, when we encounter who You are, we are just so aware of our sinfulness and our brokenness. And God, we are just amazed at Your goodness. God, we thank You. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for You being holy and righteous and mighty, for You choosing to step into our lives to provide a way of redemption for us, provide a way of salvation. God, we give You thanks. God, we thank You that You desire to restore us and redeem us. You desire to be in relationship with us. God, You don't just save us from the penalties of our sin. You don't just save us from death, but then You desire to be in relationship with us. God, we thank You. God, You are so good and loving and compassionate and grateful. God, Your love goes on for generation and generation. Your love never fails. God, we give You thanks for who You are. We just praise You this morning. We lift You up. God, I pray that You would give us a thankful heart that overflows from an understanding, an encounter of Your gospel message. God, I pray that we wouldn't be trying to force ourselves to be thankful because we know that we should. But God, I pray that thankfulness would overflow from our lives. God, that we give thanks to You, recognizing that on a daily basis, You withhold the deathly consequences of our sinfulness. You withhold Your wrath from us because of Your Son, Jesus, who has taken it upon Himself. God, we thank You for that. That is cause enough for infinite thankfulness, but yet You pour out Your blessing upon us. God, You are so good to us, Lord. God, we thank You for Your salvation and Your redemption, God. That You made a way that we could come into relationship with You. God, we give You thanks. God, we raise our praise to You here this morning. God, we just want to honor You. We want to see You lifted up. God, we could spend the rest of our lives, every minute, every second of every day, giving You praise and thanks, and it would still not amount to the amount of thankfulness that You are worth. God, we just commit ourselves to giving You praise and honor and glory and thanks. God, I pray that we would encounter Your presence, we would encounter Your gospel, that we'd be launched into a thankful life. That as a result of encountering Your goodness to us, Your presence, Holy Spirit, God, that we'd be led into thankfulness. God, I pray that Your praise would never cease being on our lips, that we would declare Your praise endlessly. God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You've done. God, we thank You that You not only saved us, You not only spared us from Your wrath, You not only then poured out blessing upon us, but You desire to have relationship with us and co-labor with us in seeing Your kingdom expand here on earth. That You gave us a purpose, that You didn't just save us and then sit us on the shelf to wait for eternity, but God, You gave us a purpose here on earth. God, that You gave us a destiny. God, we thank You for who You are, for Your plans for our lives. God, we thank You that we can become Your children. We can be co-heirs with Jesus. We can receive the inheritance of the kingdom of God of which we were once enemies. God, Your love astounds us. God, we give You thanks. We praise You this morning, Lord. God, we lift You up. Lord, You are good. Your love endures forever. God, we thank You for Your gospel. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus.